You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Been a skinny girl, I got curves you could see clear across the
well, never, never. Thank you, Roger Lahara. We have Natural, is our intro song.
Yes,
blessed to have bestowed upon us by the beautifully talented Roger Lahara from New York City. Now she's in Colorado living her best life.
And, all right,
but that song describes who we are naturally, fully. And Full Woman Radio.
Right.
Is what it's all about. So I am Cassie, and this is the lovely and beautiful and talented LaChana Jones.
Kareem.
All right. So,
get it all together. And so we are Full Woman Radio, and Full Woman Radio, second show.
Excited about that.
I think we said we're going to do seasons now. We're not going to do just, number 35. This is our second season. Our first season was, we were just starting out. We were trying to find our way through this podcast maze. But now we are in our second season, our 10th year.
How's that feel?
It feels amazing. It feels kind of surreal, too, because you don't, while you're doing it, you don't really feel the time go by.
And yeah.
You look up and you say, oh, my goodness.
We were just talking about how we just want to keep talking.
Yeah.
So you were like, so yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, did she cut me off?
Is it over? Well, you have an hour. But I'm just so excited about a topic today.
Yes.
For those who are just joining us and we're wondering what this show is all about, Full Woman Radio is a weekly podcast that will highlight the amazing men and women around the world that are on the journey to self-love and are finding their place in the body positive movement, whatever that looks like now, because it's so different for different people. From lifestyle, body politics to fashion, and everything in between, we will connect you to resources that will help you live free of society's limits and perceptions of who we are so that we can live fully as we truly are to be. So, everything that we talk about is not steeped in the plus community or body positive movement because there's
other
parts of it that we always live in, but there's other experiences that we have that we also want to talk about and share. And all of who we are make up how we move in the world and how we experience things. And me as a Black woman, and you as a Black woman as well.
I think I'm Black, so yeah.
I think so. Your melanin looks a little.
I'm a Negro American.
Negro American. Your melanin indicates a little melanin.
Respect my melanin.
Yes, yes, yes. But because of our walk, we experience our bodies differently.
Yeah.
We also are very sensitive to the stigma that's placed on our Black bodies. And then also when our fatness collides with that, there's whole different conversations. And that goes also to social media and how things are out in the world, conversations that are had, and we tend to view them with a culturally specific lens.
Yes.
So we look at it the way we experience our bodies and the way people are talking about the body that is actually uplifted and exalted. And we kind of take a step back, for me, I do, and look at the total story. I tend not to comment until after everything has kind of died down and
I
understand.
Have to learn that. Very because, emotional.
Because I tend to be emotional too, but I know that I have a responsibility as an advocate to just pull back sometimes.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the rawness of how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just do because I feel so responsible for what I put out there and people follow our network. I just want to make sure I put the best message. And sometimes that's to my detriment because I do kind of shade the message. Not shade it, but sometimes I feel like I'm too careful.
Some, you're like a mother who wants to guard their child from the horrible, horrible world.
But they have to experience the world. I know. They do have to experience it. And so this is something that is particularly on topic right now that we want to talk about today. We really are excited when we see women of size, men of size in the spotlight and recognized for the achievements that they have. Typically, it's in the modeling industry,
right.
And they are their views are normally in the spotlight more so than their face,
right?
And, you know, who they're signed to and all that. But I tend to look at the totalitarian. That's not what I want to say. the fullness of the woman or man who we are lifting up to
yes.
see mm-hmm. if they mirror the message that we want to portray. But also, we can get behind them and support them so we don't have to come back at, in the back end and retract what we our support.
Because
it's important.
I don't like my foot to be caught in my mouth.
No, I don't like that. It doesn't taste that well all the time. So, we want to talk about Tess Holliday. And Tess is a beautiful plus-size woman who has skyrocketed to the top of the conversation in recent weeks because she is on the cover of Cosmo UK.
Congratulations.
In a bikini. Well, not bikini, a one piece. Living fully in her fullness. She looks amazing. And you want to celebrate her and the achievement of seeing that visual confirmation that we are valued in that space, you know, of beauty and when it comes to culture and what they place on beauty, and to have that on Cosmo, which is really driven toward that, is a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about today Tess Holliday and others like her and the complicated celebration.
I love what Cassie. That looks like. She's going to give you the whole apple pie, American apple pie.
Yes.
Before.
Well, I just want to give some context to it.
You know?
Right. So it's like it's complicated celebration. It's, we want to celebrate, but we just cannot forget the full story of
exactly.
the person. So just a little backstory on how I came to know Tess.
Okay.
Was when on Instagram, 700,000 followers, I think, at the time. And she had a hashtag, F Your Beauty Standards.
Yes.
And very popular hashtag on Instagram. And I was following it, and I was inspired by what people were tagging and their images, how affirming it was for a lot of people to, you know, say out loud, you know, I'm my own standard. And so I appreciated that. But I also understand that I heard in Tessa's interview years ago that she was rejected by a lot of agencies because of her stature, because of her size. And she's like, well, you know, I'm my own standard. Like, I can do
anything.
So forget what you're talking about. I'm worthy of all of this. So she started posting like some more provocative, you know, photos on her Instagram, and she got more attention that way. And so she got signed to a major modeling agency in, I think, January of 2015.
Okay.
Now, prior to that or in the midst of that, she also started a clothing line. I think it was t-shirts, mostly.
It was t-shirts.
That had your FU beauty standards mm-hmm. on it and the heart. It was very cute. And people were flocking to it, trying to support her and support the message and the mission. And then I noticed there was a lot of backlash from the launch of that line, how people were saying they didn't get their t-shirt, but they paid their money, never got refunded for the money, and the way she treated her fans afterwards was problematic for me and for a lot of people in that community. So I'm not sure how she rectified that completely, but there was some issue with that. So January or so of 2015, she got the Milk, I think it was Milk Management If I'm wrong, please tell me.
But
I think it was Milk. I'm not sure. But anyway, she got signed to a major label, and she got on the cover of all these major magazines, and they were like people had featured her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was very excited. We were all very excited for that progression
in the community.
In the community,
right?
And then June, so 2015, she did an interview with The Guardian. And in that, it was just a day in the life of Tess Holliday. So they kind of followed her around. And she is known for being very brash and being, you know, say whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I am who I am. This is who I am.
Accept me or not.
You know. Explicative here, explicative there, you know. She doesn't really. She's unapologetic about who she is. And that's really inspiring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she was at a shoot in, I think, New York somewhere. And there was maybe the excerpt that caused a lot of frenzy.
I have it here as well.
Yeah. At one point, an African-American guy, middle-aged, said something appreciative as he walked by. What do you guys think they'll achieve by yelling something? She asked, shifting her weight and adjusting her cape primly. They're like, she'll love this. I'll definitely get her number. A pause, and then she added with some satisfaction, I do admit that black men love me. I always forget that. And then I come to a black neighborhood, and I remember. And no one quite knew what to say. And the article kind of goes past that and goes on from there. And that passage paused, like, for everyone in the community. Like, okay, so there's a lot to unpack in this.
There's layers.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
What did you feel when you first read that?
Well, I found out about Tess. Unlike you, mm-hmm. you found out about Tess before all of this happened. Mm-hmm. So you had a positive outlook on her. Well, I found out about it when they're the negative mm-hmm. had already started. So when I Emily was about the t-shirts, mm-hmm. that's what it was. It wasn't even about the comment. Mm-hmm. And then the comment came later, and it was like, so not only do you do this, mm-hmm. but this is who you are for real. So mm-hmm. it was already, I already had a bad taste. Now everybody makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is how you overcome the mistakes. But don't do, I don't believe, you know, when your mistakes are all the time, I just believe that's who you are. It's no longer a mistake.
Right.
So, yeah.
Just accountability and owning up to your mistakes. And
yeah.
So, for me, in this context, you know, she was kind of offended initially by the advancement of the African-American man. Now, I'm not sure if it had been another man from a different ethnic background that she would be repelled in the same way. I don't know.
Mm.
But she was, in that moment, seemed like, what does he think he's going to get me? Like, what
right.
does he think he is?
Right, right.
And then, but when I go into the black neighborhoods.
That's the part that
I'm reminded that I'm attractive and that they all want me. Because black neighborhoods are the only place that we are, because I thought we were kind of everywhere. But you kind of wonder, like, in the place that she was it because if she was in, like, Harlem or something, and she thought it was because it wasn't uptown that she had to go in the black neighborhood specifically and then feel that she was desired more. And the blanket statement of black men loving you,
mm-hmm.
Which is a stereotype of, you know, black men just love big women, which is not always the case.
It's definitely not always the case.
So we just happened, I can't make a broad stroke on this either. There's a lot of us who are fuller, who do are shapely. That's just kind of how we're genetically. But it doesn't mean there's some of us who don't have a lot of hips and all that, too. There's a, you know.
Right,
whole,
right. We're very proportionate in different ways.
In different ways,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the way she kind of had this blanket statement, it was a huge backlash, and she came out with an apology. and the apology was then a victim. So remember I told you how she was very strong and very, you know, in your face. Like, I don't care what you say. This is what it is.
Right.
But then when she felt like the world was coming at her, she then felt that she was vulnerable in that moment. And the guy who came toward her made her feel a certain way. She felt vulnerable all of a sudden from all of the backlash. Without really taking accountability and listening to the voices that were out there saying, this is why this is problematic.
Right, right.
And it's like you want to celebrate your icons that are lifted up as icons. You do want to celebrate them, and they have every right to be congratulated for their strides they've made in the community.
Yeah.
At the same time, you can't dismiss their missteps. And their reaction to those missteps is what I connect to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're accountable for what you do, then okay. But I just feel like her reaction to some of the discussion around her current Cosmopolitan cover in the UK, and how she was like, I don't need you to be concerned about me. You know, I live in the U.S. I don't need you to, you know, take your bias and leave it in the UK, basically. And to be an advocate, you know, I think you just have more responsibility. It would be a good conversation piece to talk about. But there are times when you don't feel like you have to do that. And I guess that's kind of how I am and how we feel as Black women.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come from a position of explanation and understanding all the time. And we have to just kind of sway our position gently to not offend, and broadly as people get it, you know. But there's a time where you have to be like, look, this is what it is. I don't have to keep explaining myself to you. You know, I'm fat.
Okay.
So what does that have to do with anything you do in your life?
You know, I'm totally opposite. Mm-hmm. I don't feel, for one, I know that she said before that she doesn't want to be anybody's role model, you know. But when you have worked so hard to get in a position where you're in the spotlight, you automatically become a role model, and you automatically have to, you do have to start watching what you say, and you do have to conduct yourself a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So to feel that I don't care what you do and I'm going to say whatever I want to say, then you should expect to get the reactions that you get.
Right.
And if you're not ready for that, don't play victim afterwards.
Right.
You know what I mean? For me, it's more like the audacity of you to feel that every Black man just has to have you.
Mm-hmm.
That sits very deep with me because, you know, if anybody follows me, they know that I'm pro-Black. And so a lot of people mix up me being pro-Black with me being racist when I can't be racist. Okay. I'm not in a position of power, so I can't be racist.
Right.
But I am a grandmother of a mixed grandson, love him and his mother to death, have dancers who are white. If I am racist, I would not associate with anybody, right, of a different race. But me being pro-Black, it offends me because it's like the entitlement that came in that,
right,
in that comment,
right,
was, you know, when I go to that neighborhood, we're everywhere.
Like you're slumming somewhere.
Right.
And that's what I had a hard time grappling with. So lifting them up is problematic. So I celebrate the fact that we see images that reflect who we are. I celebrate the fact that it's more of a conversation across the world, around the world.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I am very troubled by what you say. How you move out here is not right. And so
I don't like the way you move.
I don't like the way you move. And so I need you to have more accountability in what you do, because I hold myself accountable. You know, I'm very, very critical of what I put on my page. And,
yes, she is.
And what others in the committee post. You know, I have discussions about how, because I move in like the fashion community and activism community, I know those conversations are totally different for different reasons. And so I have to kind of mirror both conversations and then bring it to my committee so they can understand mm-hmm. that this is harmful and the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, say, for instance, you have a before and after picture. In the fashion community, you could say, oh, well, you know, your style is cute before, is cute now. Or they'll say, oh, your style is, I love how you now owning your style before okay. when you felt different before. But in the, if you're in the body positive or the fat activism groups, like I say on Facebook, your before and after picture is triggering because people in that group who are yours before still
mm-hmm.
are very upset about you now discarding the person you were before for who you are now.
I got that.
Giving the message of this person is better. That person may not feel that way, but in those spaces, that type of talk is not encouraged. And it can't be in those spaces. So you don't have a responsibility to have a message when it's on your personal page. Or if you're not an advocate or if you don't have mm-hmm. any liability in that regard. Mm-hmm. But when you are an advocate, you have to be responsible for what you say and for what you do. And I think that when you feel that that is not the case, when you don't care about it, because you still want to have your own autonomy, because you still want to own who you are individually mm-hmm. while you move in this world, which you should. But there's a larger conversation that's how people looking up to you. You don't know how many people are looking at you or following you.
You know, because it's just on your Instagram page, and I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, like, people, they do a lot of, you know, shadow scrolling,
yeah, I understand
too.
Exactly. I definitely understand what you mean.
So, you know, you have to be responsible is what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. holding up people is, you have to be careful, you know, because just like with Ashley Graham.
Yes.
With Ashley Graham kind of threw away the notation of plus size because she wanted to be considered a model first, which is not a new conversation, especially for Ashley, because Ashley's been saying that the whole time. I saw an article back in 2015 or 2016, where she was the main spokesperson for Lane Bryant, the marketing director had said internally, we're getting going away from the word plus, and okay. we're doing, you know, a real figure or a real body, or just not using the word plus at all. But Lane Bryant created the name, the word plus size. They created the genre. They created the name. So it's, I understand them wanting to use it differently. They can brand it mm-hmm. for their marketing they like.
It's so funny that people want to get away from plus and full figured mm-hmm. and all of those words. When you went into modeling, that's what you were. That's what you used. And then you change
you
it
got
because.
The money from the
yeah. plus, you know? Yeah. Then once you get into the limelight, it's like, I'm not that anymore.
But because you want that.
Right.
Because you want that money too. You want to be accepted. And then when Ashley was on America's Next Top Model, there was no plus models on the show.
You were considered that.
How would you, what is your influence on the show? You know, it's just, I mean, I think that what she's done is amazing too, Sports Illustrated, in that genre, you know. But when you have to listen to what they say and how they say it and to see if they're really someone that you need to hold up as a role model. So I would really have people seek out role models within their own community, you know. Look to yourself as a role model. You don't have to have a million Instagram followers.
And you don't.
To be considered because someone that should be looked up to.
We both have had women go in our inboxes, come in our inboxes that we knew nothing of who we have inspired just mm-hmm. from pictures
mm-hmm.
and just from knowing our story that's on Facebook
right.
or just on Instagram.
Right.
Don't know us personally, but like what they see because they see themselves in us.
Right.
And that's what, when you do get to that next level and you do get in the spotlight, you have those people
mm-hmm.
who look up to you.
Mm-hmm.
No, you should not be idolized, but you are. This mm-hmm. is the way of the world. And unfortunately, everyone was not raised and does not possess confidence. And so they get their life from you.
Mm-hmm.
you can't disappoint them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you do, and if you do disappoint them, mm-hmm. then you have to understand, how would you feel if it was you
right.
on the, you know, on the other side of the fence? And I think that was, that's the most important message, because a lot of people have to remember, you came from humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, once they make that money, it's like pish tosh.
Right. But, you know, also you have to, I always keep it in the context of branding. There's a lot of the Instagram stars who are brands in their own right. When they started off in doing any of that, they were branding themselves along the way mm-hmm. as an influencer, as someone that is a voice, a leading voice in the plus community, or a leading voice in fashion.
Yeah.
So they are a brand. So they don't really hold a lot of responsibility toward anything outside of the branding piece of who they are. So they will post the pictures and they mm-hmm. will do all that. And then sometimes they have heartfelt stories about their struggle along with the pictures that kind of bring people to the message. And you don't always get that with straight models. But because there is so one-sided when it comes to the plus modeling and that whole discussion, it's emotional connections that we go to towards events, towards Instagram followers, towards social groups. We're emotionally connected because of our past.
And yeah.
Not all of it is steeped in trauma, but some of it is based on having someone you can connect with and not feel judged or lost in a conversation that you don't have anything to do with. So finding people that have that same lens when it comes to how they live their life is important. So that's why people gravitate to these Instagram followers or these social media followers, because they really love the fact that they're out there living their life when they can't, and they live kind of through them.
Yes, yes.
And I think it's important to, if you consider yourself an influencer, to have that responsibility. But,
exactly.
you know, there's also an element of privilege that we could talk about in our next half hour.
Yeah.
So, we'll be back in a few moments with Fuller One Radio.
Been a skinny girl, I got curves you could see clear across the world, but I'm a real strong sister with a big old dream. You should never judge a book by its cover, you see. Stand tall, embracing my identity, cause ain't a damn thing false when it comes to me. Took a long time, now I'm feeling fancy free. Listen, let me tell you how I came to be. Guess what? I thought that I could never be like the girls on the screen. Straight hair, long legs, I felt so ashamed. Knew my hips would never match what the TV portrayed. Flashback to when I was about 14. I had fake long nails and a big old weave. I tried every diet trying to be size 10. Used to get so dizzy that my head would spin.
Welcome back to Fuller Woman Radio. I'm Cassie. To LaChyna.
I am LaChyna Jones Kareem is so
Lord,
fat.
You have to have a whole name.
LaChyna Jones Kareem is so fat.
Go ahead.
What? Well, LCJ, LJ.
LJK, baby. Hmm. I signed my initials like that on all important documents.
As long as you put my full name on the check. Welcome back. And we are so happy that you are joining us. Our topic today is Tess Holliday and the complicated celebrations that we have for people who are complicated.
And controversial.
And controversial.
Yeah.
And we were talking before the break about
responsibility, basically.
Responsibility and privilege.
Yes.
And how there's a certain privilege when you are white, mm-hmm. when you have a platform. Certain aesthetic. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of discussion around the fact that she is a body positive advocate. At the same time, she also adheres to all other social norms besides being fat. So she supports, you know, Photoshop. She supports, aesthetically, she's, you know, beautiful and makeup and, you know, all of those other things that's within the beauty industry and the social media conversation around beauty. They say that she adheres to, the only thing she does not is her fatness. So you're not truly body positive if you don't show all of you who you are. Now, I have my own feelings about that because I think that as an advocate, you could still love lipstick because you believe in body autonomy. You should be able to do whatever you want to with your body. But understand where the need to have lipstick may come from. So let's say, for instance, I've always felt that how you are, how sexually appealing you are is how more desirable, how desirable you are is what makes you beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a male perspective when it comes to beauty. That's what it's based on. So how sexually appealing you are is how beautiful you are.
Okay.
So if you understand that that is the root of it, but knowing that I don't have to be beautiful to please another man's view, but if I equate beauty to what this man desires, it's problematic if you do it for that reason.
Yes, of course.
But if you are a woman who believes that you just like to have, you know, glitter eyeliner because you think it's fly, then it's okay to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to wear heels to go with this dress that hikes your booty up a little bit, it's okay because you have your own body autonomy. So as long as you have a conversation, as long as we as advocates have a conversation about what fully body positive means, it does not mean that you are fully able body, which is what you see out there. It contains people who are not able body, all sizes, transgender people, you know, people who don't present as the social norms of beauty.
So do you think that people who don't own or don't gravitate towards, when we're talking about Tess, where she lives in all of these other norms,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't live in the fat norm,
mm-hmm.
do you believe that that person is truly happy with themselves?
I think so. I think that she is.
Okay.
I think that she, well, she certainly proclaims to be. I'm not sure what she, I don't know her, but I think that she definitely portrays herself to be very.
I kind of don't agree with that. And the mm-hmm. reason I don't is because, like we were just talking about earlier, when you come up off of mm-hmm. a movement,
mm-hmm.
and then you shun away from the movement once you get to a place. I don't
know if she's shunning away as much as she's trying to redefine it.
Fat is fat.
Well, no, well, she's not shying away from being fat. She is not embracing or having a conversation about the other social norms of beauty that she's connecting to. She's talking about the fact that, you know, in the broader fashion community, when it comes to body positive fashion mm-hmm. or beauty
mm-hmm.
as it itself, you know, she does ascribe to a certain beautiful aesthetic. She is considered by social standards, beautiful.
Oh, okay.
So because of that, she doesn't shy away from other things that straight, if she had not been a plus size woman, she adheres to all the other things. She just happens to be fat, and that's part of who she is. I think that if she was smaller, she would still adhere to the same social norms and still
would. And she just doesn't want people. I mean, and I guess I can definitely understand that. That's just like it is. It's actually that saying: "You're beautiful to be chocolate. You're beautiful to be big. Definitely, I definitely understand that. Right. Then
I don't know. I just feel like beauty is so relative. And I'm really tired of trying to have people understand that beauty is really based. It should be based on how you feel.
It should be.
But you know how we go to the club sometimes. We dress for the other chicks in the club. You don't dress necessarily for yourself.
No, you know I've always been the wild card.
Yes, I know you have.
I don't, you know, but I do know that does exist. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Who was the comedian was it Martin Lawrence who said, let me see what I can go in? Which one of the comedians was like, I'm going to look in this closet and see what I got in here to shut the show down? Yeah. That's how.
Right. Yeah, women too. Right. I'm going to kill him in there. You know? Kill who? The guys don't care.
They really don't.
As long as you win and move something.
And I've heard so many guys say that.
Yeah.
They don't really care about makeup. Actually, they would prefer you not to wear it.
They know what the deal is.
Yeah, they are like, look, I need to see who you are. You can't take off a pound of makeup.
My husband doesn't care. My husband doesn't like makeup at all. Like when I started to learn how to bake, he was like, what is that you doing on your face? I'm like, it's going to be beautiful later.
Her desk. And her bacon of all sorts.
Listen, I go to YouTube University where I learn all my tricks and trades.
Girl, I do too. So, I just don't care to do makeup.
Well, I reclaim my time. At work, you have 8 hours of my time. I'm going to reclaim some of this. So in between what I got to do there, I may do a latch hook wig or I may learn how to do a flawless blend in my eyeshadow.
That's funny.
That's just what I gotta do. I gotta reclaim my time. It's a lot of hours during the day.
Now, as far as the privilege goes, do you think that, or from what you saw, because this is what I saw, that she was offended by the backlash?
Oh, yes. Well, that's why she was kind of in your face. And I think that she's not alone. And the way she goes up against these critics or haters, it can be vile and it can be vicious, and I understand that. Erica Watson is a black woman, comedian, actress, extraordinaire, such a beautiful person. She gets all kinds of death threats. When her Dr. Phil episode comes back on, they had to seek her out, get her email, and then send her death threats. So it's like that happens. So I understand that you can't just be all, oh, don't do that. Just
right,
let me.
Right, right.
All the time. And I understand that. But looking through a cultural lens, right? When you go up against someone like that, the way social media is set up, you can find out where the person lives.
Yeah.
Where they work.
And if they're checking in all the time, you can tell where they're at
at that moment. Mm-hmm. So, and as a black woman, I have to worry about my safety. And if we don't have police support in some areas, then you're running a risk, you know? So I don't advocate in the same way. I don't encourage others who have those things, those real attributes to their life to do that kind of thing. There's a whole page, I forget the name of the photographer that created this, but you, online trolls, Substantia, I think her name is, Substantia Jones, the Adipositivity Project, where she...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, she creates visual concepts with plus-size bodies.
Yes.
Mostly nude.
Yes.
And so... she created this website where when you have an online troll, you could just give them the link to his website. It has a bunch of fat people, just flipping people off. Just so that is what they get when they click on that link. Now, that could, you know, really make someone angry. But it's absolutely hilarious. It's
definitely going to make someone angry. What do you mean?
What? You know?
So what are you saying? What did the finger say?
What all the fingers say? There's like a lot of them. So, and that's cool, you know, but I just worry about the consequences sometimes of having that much aggression when there's no support in the real world of off of social media if something happens, you know?
Unfortunately, and this goes for, I meet so many people who say, well, I want things to go back to the way they were before social media. Well, it's not.
It's not going to go back.
It's not. It's just going to only progress. And unfortunately, social media is what rules right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You can find out more on social media than you can do researching.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's crazy. You can find everybody you need mm-hmm. to find where they live.
And their people.
Right. If their friends are your friend.
Right.
Like everything revolves around social media.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when people don't have Facebook and Instagram, I look at them like, what is wrong with you?
Where's your life?
Like, what do you do? What do you do in your spare time? Like,
how do you survive? How broken are you that you don't want to connect to other people that
but
you don't
because
know?
Because of that,
right?
You have to, the whole privilege thing that I want a lot of white people who become offended.
Mm-hmm.
By my blackness
mm-hmm.
and by me celebrating my blackness
mm-hmm.
is listen, you don't have to be defensive all the
right.
time. You never walked my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you didn't do it. I know, but you benefit from those who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like,
right.
listen now. You know what I mean?
You have to. I mean, it's hard for some people to own their past and then become an ally at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know really how to be an ally, so they feel like being a friend to you is enough. So being connected on Facebook and liking your mm-hmm. posts about social injustice is enough. But if you don't change the conversation or give voice to the black people that are in your circle who are doing the work that is out here, if you are a thin person who has a platform and that you know that black people are out here, just listen to what we say, step back and let us do what we do because we've been doing it.
If you're not going to be an ally, just listen or just get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Or listen and then let that sink in and say, what am I going to do next?
Right.
What can I do to help change
right.
this?
You know? At the same time, owning your place in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because I can't experience things without it being in a cultural lens because I am a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I experience is through that lens. Now, you may feel that it's easier to deal with me if you don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
But but I kind of live in color.
But let me tell you.
I do.
I looked at a commercial, or it was a little skit, and it was talking about basically saying it's from a white guy, and he mm-hmm. was saying he doesn't understand how his white friends always tell him
right.
they don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, how did you know what color shoes to wear then if you don't see color? How did you know to match that? And that is so true.
Right.
Stop saying you don't see color. You do see color because you wouldn't trade places with me.
Right.
Not for one moment.
No.
I am like so tired of hearing that. This is what I'm tired of hearing. I'm tired of hearing, oh my God, I wish they would just forget about that. It's not slavery. Just forget about it.
Right.
Do we tell Jews to forget about the Holocaust?
Right.
You know what I mean? So no, I'm not going to forget about it. I am going to live through it because I'm surviving right now. But unfortunately, the damage has been done and it's still to this day happening to us in all genres of modeling
yeah.
and on all facets of
our
any
life.
Type of, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's in our DNA and mm-hmm. it's said that we feel the pain of our ancestors, that we feel all of that.
That's why we cry when we see slave
right.
movies. It's like, oh my God.
It's deeply rooted. Mm-hmm. And it's not that far removed, you know. My mother and father grew up in Jim Crow. So
my grandmother and grandfather did.
My mother's grandfather was whose parents were slaves.
Wow.
So I understand that we're not that far removed from really horrific oppression.
Yeah.
That's why I had the event that we had a couple years ago at the Charles H. Wright Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And with your admission ticket for the Philomen Expo, you're able to also go experience African American Museum. At the time, it was the largest in the country.
It was so nice.
And you were able, and I wanted you, because, you know, at events, you don't want to be too heavy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted you to experience being commodified, being, your body's being sold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then going through that, and then coming out through all through history of how we've transcended some of that, but still within it, and then come out to an event produced by a Black woman.
And that's what it was about.
And then a celebration of who we are through all of that.
And still embodying and loving yourself through that.
Through all of that.
Through having to survive through that and raise your children through that. And then come back out and still know it's still happening on smaller scales. Just because I'm not being beaten and raped anymore does not mean, but my mind is being raped. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. So my soul is being ripped from me.
Don't let me start a poem here now, because I will, girl, I'll start some Maya Angelou on you. Phenomenal woman.
But there are so many experiences to what we do, and I wanted to have people experience that. I don't know if they got the connection, because I didn't want to be too heavy, but I wanted you to understand that what we experience as Black people, if you don't talk about the body positive movement and don't talk about Blackness and as it relates to that, people of color and oppression as it relates to that, if you don't talk about Black Lives Matter when it comes to body positivity, I didn't see a lot of advocates out there to the top of the mountains about you know, having that platform added to what they do, because the protection of my body because of my Blackness is one thing, but as a fat Black woman, I am also persecuted and assaulted, some feel, because I don't deserve love or support or existing because of my fatness.
You know, and that's so true.
On top of being Black.
I had someone who's very close to me, actually, a family member, tell me before. I had a boyfriend at the time who wasn't the best. But my family said, well, Chyne, you should just take what you can get. I mean, he's there for you. What do you mean by that? So I don't have to have standards?
Yeah.
Like, I should just let my integrity and morals fly out the window just to have somebody?
I mean,
I've never had a problem getting a man. I don't think this one is going to stop me.
I mean, you're fat. What are you going to do? You just might as well take it.
Right. Just deal with it is. You know what I mean? I definitely understand what you're saying, especially about all the stereotypes on it. Because you have a platform that people look up to, you have to not be the person who stands behind closed doors and talk to us about it. Yeah, right. I don't like that. And then you get out there and it's like, what do you mean? I didn't say that. And that's not how I feel. I don't like people like that.
Right.
If you are strong in it behind closed doors, you should be even stronger and louder
you
in
need
it.
You need to be.
You know.
But as an event producer, initially, 10 years ago, my go-tos were the advocates that were not like me.
Okay.
And so looking at that and trying to have a broader spectrum and a broader message for people to gravitate toward was my mission. So you're like, this conversation is for everyone. But then as I evolved this work and I see that because of those spaces are not including me, I need to then find a space where my voice can be elevated. And understanding that there's other voices, too, that also need to be elevated. But I have to understand and own my Blackness in this work.
Because you have to have it start somewhere.
And I can't neglect it either for the sake of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like feminism. There's people who believe that feminism should be only about just the womanhood of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But as a white woman, and I'm rallying behind you, I am still making less as a Black woman while you're, you know, still thriving in that way. So it's just difficult to kind of travel in the same way. But you have to understand that if you understand there's layers to oppression, and if you understand that there are, that it's okay to own who you are fully. And mm-hmm. sometimes that takes some time. You don't always know what that looks like. You know, it took me a while to come into my own.
It's experiences that make it's experiences. It that brings you to that.
And just being, owning who you are. I think that you kind of always feel it, but you sometimes are afraid to express it.
That's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. I used to be afraid of who might I hurt mm-hmm. if I brought this knowledge out.
Right.
And Dorian used to always say, you know, you shouldn't say that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, why? I didn't say anything that you can't research.
Right.
You know what right. I mean? Like, right. it's here. I'm not saying anything that cannot already be researched. And as far as you're saying the feminism thing, mm-hmm. that's why I can't wait for the play. Because yeah. it talks about that. It talks about, I've trained, and this has happened
what
to
play?
Me.
What play are you talking about?
I am talking about my play. It is called A Big Girl's Revenge.
Oh.
And you should be seeing it.
Oh, are you a playwright year? As well?
We better come on and give me my props now, okay?
Oh,
okay. On that level, mm-hmm. I had to train someone at a job of mine. Mm-hmm. And I had been working hard for this position, and they gave me the interview and everything for it, right? Well, they said, okay, well, we put that job on hold. Mm-hmm. Brought somebody in. China, we need to train this person. What am I? Just train them with what you do. Oh, okay. They must be about to take my position. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took the position I interviewed for. Mm. Of course, she was a woman, a white woman. Mm. And so at that moment, and that was all the way back when, I knew, okay, no, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. You either give me what I deserve or I can find somewhere else to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to do that. But unfortunately, that's what black women have to do right now. And like you said, not only black women, but black fat women. Mm-hmm. That's what we... That's
well, you're
what
not horrible. Mm-hmm. You're not promotable mm-hmm. because you can't be the face of anything. Mm-hmm. you're already lazy. You're already, you know, angry.
And you have diabetes and high blood pressure.
And you're angry
mm-hmm.
on top of that.
Yeah.
So I remember I mm-hmm. went out for a position when I was working, and I saw that agency employees, there's no limitation to being Six Sigma certified. I said, well, I'm going to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was another woman, and so she was like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's a thing that you can travel from job to job with. It's a national accreditation. I'm going to get it here. So she was like, oh, I guess I'll put my hand in there too. Not even caring about it. She got in the first class before I did. I was so hurt. And I went to my mentor. I'm like, and she was of size. And she was like, that's what happens here. And she felt so bad because I told her when it happened, I said, if you get this before me, I know something. And then she got it before me.
Oh.
She was like, look, you take it. I said, okay.
Sure.
I took it with my manager who never took it.
Wow.
You know, and so, and I got the accreditation.
Well,
and
thank God that she said that.
Yeah.
That she wasn't selfish.
Yeah. She got it after me.
Mm-hmm.
So the person, because you have to be entered in through another Six Sigma person, that person said, oh, there's no certificates for agency employees. We just, you know, I said, there's got to be.
Because I took the class. So.
But then when she went through hers months later, in the meeting, she was presented her certificate. I'm like, oh, I think I'm due mine.
Did you
oh,
get yours?
Yeah, I got it. But they were like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess we have to give you yours too. You know, so it's stuff like that that make you like cringe. But, you know, there's laws protecting against weight discrimination. Michigan is the only state that covers weight discrimination. And so it's mixed in with, you know, racial discrimination in the workplace.
Yeah.
But there's laws protecting that. So how to look for that is something we're going to talk about in future shows, how to identify when it happens and how to then further go toward being more forceful in your rights in the workplace.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about that in future shows.
Just
but
know your worth. Just know your
know
worth.
Know your worth and just be positive that there's a support system out here for you. I want to be that help meet for you. We want to be able to connect you to those resources and be able to firmly affirm you. Like, we have eyes that acknowledge you and arms that support you. So we're going to make sure that we do what we can to do that. And so
always reach out to us.
In our Facebook, Full of Woman, International Full of Woman Network, our website, fullofwoman.org. Our beautiful sponsor for this beautiful episode here today is Graced Faces, gracefaces.com. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal makeup artist. And she worked with us in the past. She's modeled with us in the past.
Yes.
We're so appreciative of her sponsorship and her support for this podcast today. So grace your face. GracedFaces.com. Grace your face. She is amazing.
Amazing. And she's a soul fat dancer.
She's a soul fat dancer on top of that.
Okay, come on, baby. Now.
So tune in for an exciting episode next week. We have some great guest in studio that is going to really inspire you. So we look forward to connecting with you next week. And also, we're going to have some show liners also that you can download from the links that we talked about, so you can get more information about the things that we say.
Hopefully we can get some callers coming up, calling in soon.
Yeah, we may go live next week too. So so tune in to Full of Woman Radio with Cassie and LaChyna. See you next time.
Bye, guys. Have a blessed day.